Welcome, everybody. My name is Pierce Homer. I'm the chair of the Navy Hill Advisory Commission. We're still waiting for a couple members who will show up during the course of the meeting. And we're going to go ahead and start the public comment process, you know, to be respectful of your time. At the end of the meeting, if we do have a quorum, we have a couple housekeeping measures to approve minutes of last night's meeting and the previous meeting there, but we won't trouble you all with that. The important thing for us is to hear from you. So we're going to start right into the public hearing process. And just to give you all the ground rules, it's just first come, first serve. Come up to the podium. And when you're done, if you would please, there's a sign-up sheet where we can get your name. And that's very important for us to be able to track that on the sheet so we know who is speaking, number one. Number two, we would ask that you limit your remarks to no more than 3 minutes. I'll give you a hand sign when you get to three. We won't cut anybody off. But we would ask, it's respectful of everybody to stay within that general time frame to make your statements there. With that, I'd like to ask Dr. Walker to start with introductions so you all just know who we are, and then we're going to start right into the public comment.
My name is Corey Walker. I'm a member of the commission. I'm a professor at the University of Richmond professional.
I'm John Gerner. I'm managing director of Leisure Business Advisors and a past president of the Union Hill Civic Association.
I'm Mimi Sadler. I'm a small business owner, and I live in Southside in the 5th District, and I'm a historical architect.
So the floor is open if anybody would like to step up. There is a microphone there. You want to hold it close to your mouth so that we capture your voice and that we can hear properly. Thank you, ma'am. Welcome.
I have several questions. The one is, who is asking for this project? Is there a public demand for this project? And another question I have is, who is going to pay the daily operating costs on this building once it's completed? I'm talking specifically about the new Coliseum or arena that you're going to build. How many times a year is it going to be used? How many days out of the year is it going to be used? And who is, when it sits vacant, week after week or month after month, who is going to pay the daily operating costs on that? Where are the funds coming from? Is this our tax money that's going to support this building? I know there's a lot of very complicated program for financing this to begin with. Another is, with the city's history of not maintaining their buildings, i.e. schools, Arthur Ashe Center, and the Coliseum we have, what are the provisions, the provisions for how can we be sure that this building or this big project isn't going to be let to go to seed just like all the other programs? I mean, why should I, as a taxpayer, I've lived in this city for almost 40 years, why should I trust that this is going to be any better administered than the project, the buildings we already have?
Thank you. Anybody else want to come share some thoughts with the commission? And I'd like to ask Ms. Long just to quickly introduce yourself. Welcome.
Hi. Good evening. I'm Suzanne Long. I am an attorney, former recovering public finance attorney.
Thank you for joining us. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Is this recorded?
Yes, sir.
Great. I'm Marty Jewell, former city councilman, 5th District. And 100% in favor of the private development that's being shopped around here with this project. Equally, vehemently opposed to the Coliseum part of that project. We watched the impeachment proceedings yesterday, and I've never seen so much hubris in my life. Well, this project, in my opinion, is loaded with hubris. From its very origins, crafted at the Country Club of Virginia or Commonwealth Club somewhere in secret, as most projects are, fair enough. But then it was submitted to I'm wrong, y'all correct me, submitted to the former Mayor Jones, who had them to put it out as an unsolicited proposal. Well, unsolicited proposals, then you put out an RFP, those responding to the RFP have to submit a similar proposal within the parameters of the original. Who in the ham sandwich is going to put in another proposal, competing proposal, with a colossal coliseum that never pay off, that rarely are profitable, and are paid for by 100% city taxpayer money? The hubris is the first thing. I went to the first five meetings that Grant Neely presented at, and each one of them, they said, well, this won't cost taxpayers a dime. It's a lie. As a councilman, they tell you the city lies. Let's get that out of the way. They told me that the city stadium, they wanted to sell it. This lady wanted to buy it and make it a tinsel town, like Crystal City. And they were willing to do it because the structural steel on the eastern bleachers were corroded and it would cost too much to repair. Biggest lie ever told. This year, that same facility was leased out to the Richmond Kickers soccer team for the next 30 years. Now, you know and I know, you can sell it and sell off all of your headaches. But if you lease it, you're liable for anything that goes wrong. And so, there's nothing wrong with that stadium. I ask you, have you been invited to examine the existing facility inside? Yes, it needs a facelift. Yes, that probably needs some renovation. But you tell me how in God's name in 50 years this thing could be that decrepit and it's all concrete, steel, and brick. So, and then I just learned, that Madison Square Garden only seats 18,500 people in a universe or in with a population of 20 million people. We don't come near that many, and we're going to put 17,500 seats. Who are they kidding? This whole thing, I commend to you. I commend to you the study that was done or the analysis that was presented by the partners, Partnership for Smarter Growth. I don't know whether you got it, but it is stunning. I belong to a Richmond Coalition for Quality, Richmond Coalition of Concerned Civic Associations. 14 civic associations are writing you a letter. You'll get it soon. My time's up?
Yes, sir.
God, I'm tired.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Joy Smith, and I personally cannot fathom the idea of putting money into a coliseum when I don't know whether you've been downtown where City Hall is, seeing people sleeping on the street early in the morning, all around that area. I mean, in front of City Hall, and they have nowhere to go. I know I spoke on it last night. They have nowhere to go. It's cold outside, and we got heat at home. We have heat, you know, and to see people, my heart goes out to them. I am a landlord, like I was saying, among some other things, and I did speak last night on, you know, subsidized living and stuff like that. We are in need, desperate need to help these people. I was talking about the vouchers. You have a lot of buildings here, especially in Southside, Tall Hammers for one. A lot of people had vouchers, and they lost those vouchers because they're not going to let them use them for those apartments, a lot of apartments here anymore. Those people, so what I was saying last night, where are they going? Where are they going? If you lose your voucher, most of the people that have housing vouchers, they have to work. You know, they work. So if you lose your voucher and you have to move somewhere, like I said, they don't have transportation, they don't have jobs, you know, really good jobs to afford a place. I went, you know, so what I'm saying is, what are they going to do? What are they, they say, you know, I hear people saying, oh, they got people sleeping under the bridge. I think the bridge is overcrowded. Under the bridge is overcrowded. I don't think there's no more room for no more people to sleep under the bridge in the cold and have kids or go in a shelter where they might not be safe at, seriously. So I think we need to put the money to better use as far as housing people. I know the campus, so many of them go in a shelter per night. Even though Caritas has a bus that go around and pick people up and take them to different churches, it's still not enough. It's not enough. I feel real sorry for them. My heart goes out to them. A lot of people did call me looking for housing because they had a certain time to find a place or they would lose the voucher. They don't extend the vouchers anymore. So suppose you don't have family members or loved ones that would take you in. Then what? That's something to think about, you know? So I just wanted to add that from last night to what I feel.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And don't forget to sign in there.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I thought it was back on stage. You fine.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
My name is Kay Lewis. I live in Church Hill. I'm originally from Brooklyn. And I've tried my best to follow the ins and outs of this proposal and this project. And I've heard a lot of different sides. People want money for schools and people want money for, you know, the police department and, you know, the civil services, etc. And to my understanding, Richmond City, we don't receive support economically from the state. Henrico County does, Chesterfield does, Richmond City does not, from my understanding. And my question is, how can we generate money? How can we support schools? And, you know, if we raise taxes, then there's complaints there. And then, as the gentleman indicated earlier, yes, local, federal, state government, yes, there's lies. There's certain things that, as the public, we can't take in mentally, so we elect those in power to make those decisions for us. But with this project, again, I've lived in Richmond now for 18 years, so I'm 40, so it's almost half and half between Brooklyn and Richmond, and I see the potential and I see how much this city has grown, forget since I first got here, but over the last 5 years. And I really feel like this project, albeit there is some holes that we hope is being filled, but I just really need somebody to tell me how this really can't be a great, this can change the city exponentially, because again, we have to support ourselves. So where are we gonna get that economic growth from if we're not gonna get support from the federal government? I want better schools for our kids. I wish we had police, you know, walking beats like I seen back home growing up. I wish we had all of these things, and it's getting better, but we're hitting a wall. So now that we're starting to hit that wall and we have the attention of outside investors and we have the attention of these corporations that want to come here, and we have 80 blocks in the city that's not generating money for us. So if it's not this project, it has to be something else. And I've been here for, like I said, 18 years, and nothing, even a quarter of the magnitude of this project, has come about. So again, I understand people's concerns. Well, you know, the city's lied to us before, and, you know, we need money for schools before we need a shiny brand new stadium. I understand that, but we need something like this to give us what we need and what we want. So thank you for listening. Appreciate it.
Good evening again. Thank you for letting people speak two nights in a row. 3 minutes is not a lot. But I wanted to expand on some of the comments that I made last night as well. And also, I think the gentleman that just spoke made some really good points. I would offer that, as a matter of fact, the 80 block zone is bringing in revenue and would bring in revenue because, as we many people have stated, it is a growing area already. And I think that that's one of the points here, is that this city will see a tremendous amount of new revenue coming from increased real estate, from
especially some of the parcels that have been discussed in the last couple of months, in particular Dominion-owned property, which is being re-renovated. But I want to go back to some of the things that I was talking about last night and expand on some of the concerns that I have. I think that it is worth asking why the mayor's administration crafted a response, a request for proposals in the way that it did. And I wanted to read exactly from, or actually the very first page says that it's not a request for procurement, and therefore it is not, the process described therein is not subject to Chapter 21 of the City Code. And what I find most interesting about the process outlined in that chapter of the City Code is that when the city does receive an unsolicited proposal, they're required to notify and seek competitive proposals in response to the unsolicited one. And I think that this is really key, and I think it also speaks to a lot of the other really good questions that people have raised about alternative proposals. And if this was set up in a way that it's not subject to city code law, then I don't know what it's actually subject to. And that is a huge red flag for me personally. I hope that it would be a red flag for our city council members, and I hope that you would address that maybe in some of your responses and your report to them. And also just to speak to the affordable housing, so-called, some of the responses from the developers when they were questioned whether they could meet the requirement that the city council has already outlined is at least a base minimum need for affordable housing with a project such as this that uses public land or public dollars. The developers, I believe, said that if they try to add extra affordable units, which would be between 39 to 46, depending on how they did that, that it would bring into question the feasibility, the financial feasibility of this deal. And if this is supposed to be such a guaranteed success, I have a hard time understanding how that amount of units that the city has said is a basic need and it is a requirement, how that would break this proposal. And if we take them at their word, I think we should be very wary of the riskiness of this deal. And if we don't take them at their word, then I think city council shouldn't even be considering it any further. You have all of my comments from last night, so I'll end it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome, sir.
How you doing? Earl Bradley, Bradley Development, LLC, a procurement specialist.
Well, then maybe.
And I have been blessed at this meeting. I heard several people address what I address is the original problem, the procurement process. And Marty hit it in reference to my beloved city, born and raised in Bleed here, doing things in back room doors, you know, in the back rooms. When the procurement process is put into the light, everybody benefits. Everybody benefits. Because as my sister stated, when you go to Chapter 21, you're dealing with the procurement for the city of Richmond. Well, we're going to take you another further. We're going to take you to the state. The state also requires competitive competition. See, that's where it went wrong. When NH submitted their unsolicited proposal because the 10 blocks weren't going to work, with the 80 blocks concept and TIF, yes, the CAO, Selena Cuppy, was supposed to pre-qualify other vendors to compete for the final negotiated structure that we have, proposal we have now. See, that's the original problem. How do you go from here? First, I think an investment is great. The city needs it. The TIF concept will work, but it's not going to work in the dark. It has to work in the light. And when you do that, the community, the residents, the business in the community prosper originally, because that's what our procurement requires. Then you deal with the stages of awarding the contracts. I do not agree with them giving the 30% to minorities. Procurement, we have the opportunity for 100%. So how are you going to come and say you're going to get 30%? You're going to get 20%. It doesn't work like that. It should be fair and equal for everybody to give an opportunity. Now, when you invest in the community, now the community can invest back into you. The taxpayer dollars cycle back into the community. The meals tax is being used in the community. The education compact that the mayor originally talked about, which was supposed to be a tool to find resources, it's doing that. We're finding the resources, but you got to do it in the light. You cannot continue to do it in the dark, as is stated about the other previous shiny objects. One question. They're stating that the loan's going to be a non-recourse loan. No one has told me who the stakeholders are. And a district might be the borrower, but according to law, the borrower is not liable for the bond stakeholding. Who are the bondholders? We're talking about costs. They're the ones who are liable for it. If it's true. So I'll finish with that point. Go back to original sin, bring light to this. It's a good investment, but you cannot do it the way you're doing it now. Not that you're doing it, but Mayor Stoney.
Yes, sir, come on up.
Hello, I'm Lawrence West. I've spoken here a couple times. I think you guys probably know what I'm going to say, but you might not. So I come to this with one particular narrative, one direction, one focus, and that's really on the work, the jobs that this particular project is going to create. I'm so adamant about how the industry is, because I'm in construction, so the gentleman before me just said, you know, how can we say only 30% is going to go to African American or a minority or whomever? Well, the problem is that if you don't say it, then there's no requirement to do it. So I've been put in plenty of positions where, you know, there are opportunities for 100%. But, you know, there's sometimes a good old boy system in the background that you just don't get it. So with the requirement of minority participation, it allows other people to come to the table that probably wouldn't be at the table. The other thing is, you know, I've been proving a system for years now. And actually, this is one of the first times that I've actually talked about it in public. But workforce development does work. I have two examples right here. These two guys that are with me, they are guys that work with me. And from staffing agency to, you know, just completely unemployed, you know, one of them, it took me 2 years to really get to the place where, you know, it's viable and so on and so forth. But now he's the breadwinner in his household. The other one just started with us just a month ago, and Bird and Roger, I'm calling them by their names. So Roger started with us just 1 month ago, and today he was laying tile. So workforce development works. It does. And I don't see plans quite often that have workforce development in them. Most of the time it's just, can you build it? You can't? Okay, let's keep it moving. But this particular project, because of its capacity, says that, look, we are going to operate in a way that people that aren't playing in the game right now have an opportunity to get in the game. And I really believe that, you know, if there were more scrutiny on some of the other contracts that are happening around, in and around Richmond, you know, a lot of the people that are, you know, combating this would combat those a lot more intensely, because there is a lot of, you know, things going on behind closed doors. But long and the short of it is, I just want to say that this particular project is one of the only projects that I know of that actually has workforce development. And workforce development does work if you know how to do it.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
You know what?
I had to hurry up and come up here behind this gentleman. My name is Freddie Robinson, and I am a case manager for Workforce Development Company. And I like to say that, you know, what we do is we go into the low-income neighborhoods. Our office is in a low-income neighborhood, and we do that for a deliberate purpose, because that's where everything is truly needed. I get in the neighborhood, people say, Navy Hill, what is Navy Hill? They may not know about it, but when I explain to them how it's gonna bring jobs and opportunities and training, they're really excited and working for it. I wish I could have filled the office up if I could have got a lot of them over here, but the whole thing is, it's the opportunities that it will give people to develop themselves. You go in with somebody and they don't have nothing, and this opportunity comes an opportunity now for them to be trained. That'll take a lot of people off the street, it'll lower the crime rate, and it will give people a start on life that they normally wouldn't have. You know, and I know it's differences on both sides about what it's gonna do and what it's not gonna be good and it's gonna be good, but I feel like it could be met somewhere in the middle, but I wouldn't stop this program because it's making a lot of people excited, and especially in the low income neighborhoods, and that's where we need to try to build up. A whole lot of things be done around the city, but it's not a lot of opportunities that comes about for the low income neighborhoods. And like I said, that's what we specialize in. And I love doing what I do. And if I could just snap my finger and make this project work, I would, because it would give the people opportunities. It would save a lot of lives, and it would change a lot of lives. Thank you.
Anybody else want to share their thoughts with us? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Hi. I think he was asking somebody else.
Go ahead. I'm going to sign in first because at my age I might forget.
Okay. Mr. Homer?
Yes, sir.
Other members of this esteemed panel, my name is Al Bowers and I too live in the Fifth. 55 years ago, I came to Richmond as a 17-year-old to attend Virginia Union. And one of the most amazing things about Richmond, coming from Clarksville, Virginia, which is a rural area in the south side of the state, is that things were jumping on 2nd Street. A lot of black businesses all around the city. They're gone now. And schools had just begun to become integrated. That has its pros and its cons. I think you gotta be black to understand what I'm saying. And since I have 3 minutes, if you want a dissertation, you have to email. But we're talking about this project. What's amazing to me, and I wish Grinley was here, I know her quite well, is that none of this fuss was made about all of the $3 to $4 billion worth of projects that's ongoing now. Where was all the rhetoric? Well, was commissions. Think about this now. A commission to evaluate progress. Why are the council members elected? They are policymakers for the people, elected by the people for the people. And they're supposed to be of the people. But we got a commission. And all of you have. This is an attorney. You got a lot of things you could be doing. I don't know about you. You might be at my age. I'm retired.
I am working very hard.
Praise you. I don't want to work hard anymore. But I'm telling you something. If a city doesn't progress, it doesn't grow. More importantly, if a city does not include all of the people in the growth of it, economically, educationally, socially, then the leaders have not led. You are, at best, an ad hoc entity. Is that correct? An ad hoc entity. You're going to be here until this is decided, and then you go. But the rest of us who are taxpayers are going to stay here. And somehow or another, I heard a gentleman mention the impeachment process. We all know that the whole system in this country was set up to divide us. Otherwise, why do you have two parties? No matter who you elect, the other side is going to disagree. We got the same situation here. We're making this an impeachment process of a project. Why don't we use some common sense in this process? The people that are disenfranchised need every project. The problem is they're promised the moon and never given a ray of light. We're going to have X amount of minority participation. I don't want to talk about no 3 minutes because you need to hear this. We need to get our people, our citizens, empowered to be able to be involved in affordable housing. You're going to have, like you have today, and you've had ever since Richmond has been a city, people will not be able to afford these affordable housing because they're not empowered, enabled to do it. We've heard comments about workforce development. We've been hearing this for 30 years. It's not working. We got two ladies up here who are involved with the Navy Hill project. Only project ever come to Richmond where they say we want to do something that includes the people. They talk about 30%. We haven't had a project yet in Richmond that reached 30% black participation. You're the commission. You should be developing ways to ensure that those that are disenfranchised are involved in every project in this city. And if you're going to fight Navy Hills project, stop all the other projects and let them go through this process. You're talking about being real? It's really surreal. And if you don't get one or the other, the whole process is sterile.
I'm Tom Burkett. I live here in Richmond. Just want to thank you, the commission, for taking our voices today and giving us the time to speak. And I think that does kind of speak to part that this really wasn't set up at first as kind of a transparent process with the actual proposal. And that's why we're stopping and pausing at this moment. Second is just the size and magnitude of this project. We're talking about 80 blocks here of revenue for the city. I'm also just coming here kind of primarily as a Richmond citizen, just to reject some of the statements made by Navy Hill District Corporation or their beneficiaries that their development plan for a city has been devised in good faith or for the health and interest of the public. I say this because I've personally witnessed a history of corporations involved in Navy Hill District Corporation repeatedly put the profits of their corporations before the health of communities their projects directly impact. Just over a year ago, Dominion Energy misled the Virginia State Air Quality Control Board by compiling and submitting misleading demographics to the community of Union Hill. This was done in order to skirt around state board members' concerns that Dominion Energy's ACP proposal to put a gas compressor station in a historically black community would violate state laws protecting a majority-minority community from excessive air pollution emissions. Dominion Energy's actions in this particular case show their willingness to literally erase black residents from the map in order to build a key portion of their gas pipeline that would bring in profits for Dominion Energy shareholders. Likewise, in that project with the ACP, they promised jobs and local jobs. And what we actually saw was jobs, license plates from other states coming in, and temporary work. This proposal still falls short of answering many questions and concerns. My concerns being that the project is not actually good for schools. I'm saying this in reference to the school board 7-2 vote to opt out, as well as the statement released by the Richmond Educators Association opposing the Navy Hill project. Concern that the project has been brokered in a way that cannot effectively secure protections of hiring and employing, achievement of MBE goals, that the project is fiscally irresponsible due to the lack of due diligence concerning the base assessed value lack of sunset provision, and lack of requirement to preventing capturing excessive growth. The project also fails to meet the need of low-income housing crisis of the city. NHD Corp fails to honor the legacy of Navy Hill by selecting members and partners with a damning case history of racial discrimination, as I stated before. There's multiple organizations that have stepped out against this proposal, and I, like them, urge you to kind of think that Dominion Energy is really just at it again. I urge you to call upon the City Council and Mayor Stoney to invest in real communities, not speculative ventures. I would like to see a city that prioritizes the needs of its residents over corporate interests, and this could be done by rejecting the proposed plan and beginning a new proposal process that involves the public and our health and interests from the start. Thank you.
My name is Kenneth Jones. I wasn't going to say anything, but I wanted to speak for my people myself. Versus having somebody that haven't suffered what we've suffered to speak for us. This is an economic boom for the city that's been vetted for the last 24 to 30 months, potentially. And if the process has not been open, I don't know who closed it, because I see a lot of the documentation on the internet. And a lot of documentation has been put out there. You got three or four accounting firms that has vetted this process and this project all the way through. And this is something that could be an economic engine, an economic boom for minority participation in the city. And by me being a general contractor, I think I know a little bit more about inclusion than some of the people that may have other opinions about how this can be done. It can be done. One of the ways is that it was done has started already, because a lot of the minority firms were brought to the table in the beginning. While this process has been worked out and have asked us to put together a plan to make sure that African Americans are included in this process. All the numbers, I don't know, but there are some much smarter people than I am that are CPAs and accountants that have vetted these numbers. And from what I saw in the paper just a couple of weeks ago, there's another firm out of Chicago or somewhere that's vetting the proposal again. I don't know any project that's ever been done in this city that's been vetted and scrutinized and scrubbed as this project has. And I think the reason that it's scrutinized and scrubbed, maybe they don't want to see African Americans participate. I listened to our former governor, which was asinine, to talk about how Croson has to do. This is a private development. It can be done, and it will be done, because a lot of us are here to make sure it gets done. Thank you.
Anybody else want to share their thoughts? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Tommy Davis, and I'm typically don't do this, but me more than anyone in this room knows what it's like to be scrutinized, because when I was selected to build the Richmond City Jail. How you doing, me? The thing about this solves a couple of problems. Richmond, as we all know, we can't expand our tax base. 30% of our land is non-taxable. We can't make any more revenue. So what do? If we have schools that are failing, we build new schools, but how does that fix the problem? We've got new schools because MLK and Huguenot, are they accredited? Are they accredited? So building new schools doesn't make them better. What makes them better is mom and dad got a job. So kids ain't coming to school hungry. They're not coming to school sleepy. They have careers. They're doing these things. If anyone that's going to do the George Wallace for people of my profile, it's going to be me. I differ from my fraternity brother, Al. We got 52-53% on the Richmond Justice Center. I have a signed agreement. This is not about Dominion. That's just Tom Farrell's day job. This ain't about him. And Tom Farrell doesn't give me any work. I don't solicit any work from him. I don't get any work from him. This is not about Dominion. This is about people of our profile. Him right going to hand over in Chesterfield County ain't going to help us. They're not letting GRTC go out there. We got to put our folks to work. If we're not going to do it, who's going to do it for us? I would urge this commission to not look at why we can't do this, but how we can make this better. Yes. How we can make this better, Mr. Homer. Not to not do it, but make it better. If we're talking about crime, it's people of my profile that y'all are locking up. Give us, we want to work. It's not that we want to sit around. We want to work. Give that some consideration. Not no respect, but just consideration. There's one race, the human race. There are only two types of people, good people and bad people. Let's put people to work. Let's do that. Why are we debating this so hard and being against it and attacking Tom Farrell? That's his, I don't know anything about his agenda. I don't know anything about that. What I'm interested in is how we can be better. We're a Dillon Rule state. We cannot access any more land. We already have the federal government, the state government, taking up 30% of our land. Take the assets that we have and let's get some revenue off of them. Yes, building new schools, we need to do that. But absent mom and dad having jobs, coming to work, going to work every day, we don't have teachers teaching. What they're doing is raising kids. It doesn't make a difference how good or shiny the building is. It's what's inside the building. St. Catherine's, St. Christopher's, those buildings are 300 years old, but they put out good kids because what's inside is great. Let's make what's inside great here. What are we doing here? What are we doing? Thank you.
Anybody else want to share their thoughts? Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Shannon Gonzalez, and I am here to speak in favor of the Navy Hill Project. And I want to thank the gentleman who preceded me in actually advocating for jobs for many of the parents of many of the students who reside in our city. I am a teacher at George Mason Elementary School and have worked for Richmond Public Schools since 2005. So I do see and experience exactly what Mr. Davidson was speaking. However, just the numbers for the project add up to me. As a member of the RPS Rezoning Committee, that's been a lot of work, and I understand that Richmond Public Schools will have the benefit, if it is approved, of seeing a lot of funding going towards the budget. From my understanding, as early as the land is sold from the purchase price, Richmond Public Schools can see the proceeds from the purchase as early as year two, if council so chooses to allocate those funds. Also, the meals tax alone earned the schools, I guess, $9.3 million. And from my understanding, in year three, Richmond Public Schools could see some of the proceeds from the meals tax if the project was approved. So I am really in favor of this project. I think it has so many pluses, not a lot of negatives. There have been a lot of strong claims and assertions that really require a second look. However, I think as more information is put out into the public, you all continue to do your due diligence and allow the public to be heard and to share your information. I think people will come to understand the real benefits of this project. So thank you.
I didn't want to call you my wife. My wife needs to come. Neighbor Hill, the arena. I'm in show business. Is anyone here to represent Spectre Corps?
Spectre.
So I'm a little confused. If you look at TV and the newspaper, I thought y'all was working together as one. So am I crazy or what is it?
This is
Are y'all just one organization? Sir?
This is the study commission.
So you're handling both?
This is not NH.
Well, that's where I'm confused at.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, because I'm for the, anyhow, in dealing with the Richmond Coliseum, I'm the first promoter that gave a concert in there. and I guess I mean it was the last. And I don't understand why they closed it the way they did when they said it was only costing, what, $1 million a year? And I give one concert there and they're taking $700,000 to $800,000 off one. If I had known that they was going to close that building, I would say, hey, give me the opportunity to run this building for y'all instead of closing the door with all these other big concerts that was coming in. And now it's just sit there like a big empty warehouse, not making a dime. And mark my word, if the wrong people don't run the building right, it will still be sitting there. Because if anyone had been thinking right, they would say, no, don't close it. Let's put out a bid and let someone bid to keep it open and run it. And I've been one of those persons that would bid it on it, because I believe that by now, as long as it's been closed, I could engross $10 or $12 million in that building profit. Because it's the only big building in the city of Richmond, can do 12,000 people. So I'm hoping that someone will look at me as a promoter that's been doing it for 60 years, was first promoted in that building, Earth, Wind & Fire, Marvin Gaye, Jackson, everybody. I'm looking for the opportunity to go into a brand new building. I would love it. But a 17,000 seat building would cost you at least $90,000 to $100,000 per concert. On my last concert in the Richmond Coliseum, I paid them a total of $32,000 just in taxes. When they finished with my bill, it came to $87,000 with the rent, stage hands, and everything else. So there's a lot of money to be made with a new building, but you got to have the right people there. And I'm a little man. Sometimes they say the little man with no education can do more than a man that got education. That's me. I don't have school sense. I got street sense. I can outcan anyone in here. You can take your computer, and I can outdo anybody in this building. And I'll bet you $10,000 to $1 on that. You can't outdo me. So I'm asking for an opportunity to step forward to help y'all in any way I can. For as the Navy Hill is concerned, hey, I believe it can do great things in the town. But I don't want people to think that it's a given thing. It ain't going to go that way. People ain't putting out all this money for people just to walk through a door and say, hey, give me this, give me that. It's going to take time for them to get their money back before they start to giving up money to everybody. Everybody got the hands up. Give me this, give me this. It ain't gonna happen. I want y'all to know it ain't gonna happen that way. Mm-hmm. Nobody just give away money just for the fun. You got to make some of your money back. Then you can come forward and we can work and we can talk. But until then, it's just talk. Gentlemen, you have a great night.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Who else has got thoughts to share? Yes, ma'am, come on.
Hi. My name is Felicia Coles. I spoke to you guys last time. I'm still in the same place. I'm not understanding as I sit back and listen to the opposition. I just don't get it. This thing is about progress, growing together. And all I keep hearing is what this big company did, discrimination or whatever, I don't know, whatever. The things that the opposition are saying, it's like they digging back, way back. Let's pull this up. Let's pull that out. And I'm not understanding why, because it's not for the good of the people, but Navy Hill is. It is, because see, my people need that training. Mm-hmm. We need the training. For whatever reason that we are not where we are supposed to be, we want to get there. Navy Hill is an opportunity for us to get there. Okay? So all of the trash and discrimination from this corporate person and all of that, that's okay. All right, it happened. Okay, it's done. Let's move forward. This is a great opportunity. And it's kind of getting on my nerves because the same thing is being said at all of the meetings. this company this, that company that. Why? Can we have a chance to progress? Or is it about using Navy Hill to keep us back? No, we can progress. We got that right. Navy Hill is an opportunity for us. And not just people that look like me, people that look like y'all too. It's opportunities for everybody as a whole. And I think that we should move on and go to the next step. It's like almost a year. We still talking about the arena and the Coliseum. It's not making sense. I'm for Navy Hill. I believe it can do great things. It can be only the beginning of a change for Richmond. We ain't saying Navy Hill is the all in all. No, it's just the first part of redoing our great city.
Yes.
Amen. Y'all give us some consideration. Thank you.
Yes, I appreciate
it. You're our normal closer. Let's just see if anybody else wants to.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll say that.
Okay, yes, sir. Come on up.
I have a good sense not to follow a closer. My name is Ben Hilfarb. I'm a resident of Richmond's 1st District. I spoke at another meeting, and I've been following the whole process very closely. And I want to say that it's, one thing we've talked about is whether this process was democratic and whether everyone who wanted to and who had a vested interest in doing so could participate in the planning process, the review process, the advisory process. And I consider it a luxury, a privilege for me to be here tonight. But the fact is that if civic engagement is an activity that only people with some amount of leisure time, time when they don't have to work, whether that's paid or unpaid labor, the process will never be truly democratic. I also am dismayed because I think that opposition to the Navy Hill project is not coming from the more traditional sort of NIMBY, you might say, attitude, which is, not in my backyard, right? That's not what opposition to this project is about. Opposition to this project is actually about solidarity with residents of Richmond. And I think there's a difference in analysis going on between various people who are speaking for or against or on all sides of the project, where we need to take a step back and see that what capital, the capitalist class, that is the people who control the money, who stand to profit the most from this project, and I'm not talking about anybody in this room, because I don't think we're the people who stand to profit the most, are doing. The whole reason Navy Hill Development Corp exists is because people at a high level have decided it makes them money, right? And they will do... We can disagree. I'm willing to have disagreements about, whether capitalism is a good thing or not. But what I'm eager to really push is that what happens historically and every single day in this country is divide and conquer. Divide by class, divide by race, divide by age, divide by neighborhood, divide by type of job, divide by education. When in fact, to me, the most meaningful divide is between people who have control over the direction of our society and people who have less power in that. So, to me, the reason it's significant to bring up Dominion, the reason it's significant to bring up the political and capitalist elite who are behind this project, was that for me?
No.
Okay. To bring up the political and economic elite who are behind this project is because their track record isn't that good. Mm-hmm. Their track record is environmental destruction. Their track record is residential segregation. Their track record is defunding public schools and defunding public services in general. So I think the history is relevant. I think the history matters because history should inform our decisions in the present. And if we're going around looking at other TIF finance projects around the country, Chicago, I believe Baltimore people brought up, the record is not good. The record is the school budget takes a big ding, the municipal budget takes a huge hit, and we're left with projects that are much like the projects of the mid-20th century, your urban renewals, your interstate development, your urban redevelopment schemes.
Can you sum up?
Yeah. Where we took a short-term reward at the expense of long-term sustainable and equitable existence. Forget about growth, just existence. I am definitely not here to say that people who need jobs, want jobs, shouldn't have those things. I'm not here to say that. But I am here to say that there's a different way to do this. Thanks.
Any other comments?
I'm going to go to
yeah. Michelle Mosby, former councilperson like Mr. Jewell. I can't say I agree with his statement as it relates to just lie. Can't say that, because when I made decisions hoping that it was going to help people. So I can't quite agree with that one. I'm going to say real quick, because so much has been said about the Coliseum, and I call it an arena. I know that there is not someone that would put their own $8 million into something that they didn't see could be successful. And also have signed an agreement for another $2 million so that they can maintain the arena. I just don't see where, if someone doesn't see how that can be a successful event, if they would take that on with their own cash. So I want to say that, because to keep saying something is just like the Coliseum. The Coliseum was great in its day. We went to a lot of shows in its day. We enjoyed it. Jose, my sister, we enjoyed the Coliseum. And so with that being said, learning from the past, like this gentleman said, what we didn't have with the Coliseum were mechanisms to keep the Coliseum up. And so I believe that with the mayor, he has seen or heard what happened in the past, because some of this was before his time, has seen and heard what has happened in the past and tried to put some provisions in there. When we talk about procurement, we talk about making sure that everyone is at the table, I think it's very important to understand that there is, I don't consider it a strong mayor, because he can't do anything without council. So I believe that we have a mayor form of government, but it's not what I would consider strong mayor, because he would be able to do things on his own if that was the case. But when we talk about how the proposal came into play, this, that, and the third, I think it's important to understand that all of us have our different thought processes on what's important. But him as the mayor and the nine council persons have to deal with public safety, schools, transportation, and all the ills of the city. And so therefore, when he decides to put out a RFP, his thought process should be all the ills of the city. And so when I look at what this proposal does, he has tried to address what we the people would be coming to him to say, Mayor, this is a problem. Mayor, this is a problem. Mayor, I need funding for schools. Mayor, the people are out in the elements for transportation. Mayor, the people don't have no jobs. Mayor, we need more police in this area for public safety. I think he tried to address those things in this particular proposal. Now, when we want to talk about rich people, I am so glad that Martin Luther King didn't decide, well, they haven't voted for voting rights before, so I'm just not going to go and deal with them. I'm so glad he said, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to go see President Johnson, and we're going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. We cannot decide, because if all of us do not have the dollars to make the sense, then we have to, at some point, I'm with you, we have to get with where we can get, but also make sure that there are some provisions set in place for accountability. I am hoping that that's what you all do. Put some provisions in, recommendations in for council that says, they said this, make sure that happened. They said that, make sure that happens, but not scratch it. We have to have a city that moves forward, and I believe that the mayor did the best he could trying to take care of the ills of the entire city.
Amen.
Anybody else want to share their wisdom?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening.
I spoke last night, and I was hesitant to do it again today, but I just feel the need to stand and say that I'm a promoter of 40 years' experience. I know what it's like to go into these facilities when they are too small for your act, as the Coliseum has been. For years, there are artists that we simply cannot bring to the city because the facility does not have enough space or seating capacity to hold it. If I've got to pay a particular price for an artist, in order for me to charge customers for tickets, I've got to increase the ticket price if the venue is too small. What we need in this city is the same thing they have in others. And I dread every day when I'm on that phone trying to make contacts for artists that I've got to go to Charlottesville. I've got to go to Norfolk in order to bring an act into the state of Virginia, and I live in Richmond.
Whoa.
It frustrates the heck out of me that Richmond can't do what other cities are doing. Why can't they do what Charlottesville is doing? Why do we have to go there? Why can't we have a building here? I find it unfathomable that people are not seeing that. I find it unfathomable that people are willing to invest their money, corporation money, into building a facility that we're fighting. Why are we fighting it? It's frustrating. So when somebody can give me an answer to that, I can sleep at night. Right now, I'm struggling every day to find a place to go, but I've got to take my money outside of the city. The city charges me 7% admission tax and does nothing to help me promote it. Nothing to earn that money. So when I live here and work here, I want the city to do what's right for the citizens, do what's right, because my goal is whatever I bring into the city is to make sure that people get what they pay for, that the entertainment is going to show up. I'm going to do what I have to do, and I expect the city to do and respond the same way to the citizens who are looking forward to a project such as this. Enough said.
Anybody else want to? Yes, sir, come on up.
Good evening, how's everybody? My name is Robert Winfrey. I pastor New Life Deliverance Tabernacle Church located 9th and Decatur Street. And my purpose and reason for being here this evening is to challenge those persons who are adamantly opposed to the Neighbor Hill Project, and to also challenge those who are in favor of it. One of the things that attracted me to the Neighbor Hill Project was the fact that it gives an opportunity for folk who are coming out of incarceration, folk who may not have some of the breaks that others have had. For an example, they may be a convicted felon. It gives opportunity, especially for minorities. And I think this is a grand opportunity for us to be able to open our doors, open our cities up, and allow them to be able to transform from where they were to where they can be. They can now be independent and self-sufficient and being able to take care of their families and be productive individuals in our city. And the big thing for me is that, what does it offer us? Does it cost us anything? If it's free money, then why not take it? The other part about it, I just kind of piggyback on what the other young lady just finished saying. If it can attract other people to come here, NBA basketball game, hockey games, if we have a venue that's large enough to attract people that will also bring money here, and at the same time, it can also expand opportunities for nice housings so the people can come in and live in that same area. Affordable housing, and it doesn't cost you anything. if they say, we will give this to you, and the city's not going to be responsible for it, it just boggles my mind. I really can't even comprehend it. I can't even understand it. And, but, you know, part of this is that, let me say this, and I want to say it so I won't sound so biased. We look out of different windows. You don't see the same thing that I see out my window, because you don't live in the same place that I live. So therefore, we have a different mindset of how we see things. If it's any way that we can help the community at large, not certain sects of people, but the community at large. And I think so often we write off certain minorities. We just kind of write them off and put them on a plantation, put them on a reservation, and then we say we can deal with the rest of them as long as we can put them aside. This will afford an opportunity for people of color, people who are disenfranchised, left out and left behind, to be able to catch up. And so, if there's nothing off of you, why not? If it doesn't cost you anything, somebody said that here's some money that we have to help you improve your city, and at the same time create jobs for people who, under normal circumstances, would not be able to get a job because they have a stamp on their forehead that said convicted felons. Why wouldn't we want to do that? Unless we're looking out of different windows. Because we might not see it in certain windows. But out the window that I look at and look out, that's how I see it. And for anybody to not want to help, I think we are so deficit and we are so dichotomized, you know, that it's not even about color as much as about the have and the have not. I'm finished anyway.
Hey. We're trying to rush in front of the closer here.
Hey, Dora, my name is Reggie Bates. I'm a program analyst for RVA Grove and a small business owner in the city of Richmond. Like I said before, yes, I am in favor of the Navy Hill project. For the most cases, yes, we do need change. Far as the Coliseum, yes, it would be outdated if you want to consider it to most. However, the concerns I always bring up once again that as we all know, statistically, if you go throughout the state, almost any coliseum that has ever been built has never been profitable. So my concern is having the taxpayer on the hook for money on something that is not making profit but carrying debt. Now, I do completely understand the fact that we're saying that, yes, we have businesses around that's hopefully going to counterbalance that. That is great, but not guaranteed. Because nothing's guaranteed. With that, you know, with all the great things we talk about with Navy Hill, it's kind of like talking about Navy Hill is kind of like talking about medicine. It talks about all the things it cures, but then they rush through all the side effects. So the things I look at is that a lot of people aren't bringing up is who loses in this, because there's no such thing as a win-win. Case in point, I use Jackson Ward. Everybody loves the way Jackson Ward looks. I love it. It's all built up. You know, I remember a lot of people that were there that, you know, a lot of the older seniors that prayed for Jackson Ward to turn around, and it did. What they didn't bank on is because they were on their fixed income, they would lose the homes they owned for 20 years to about $4,000 or $5,000 in taxes. And then you go up Motley's and it sells for less than what they paid for, what they lost it to in taxes. So my question is who are the losers? Because it's very easy to make a decision if I don't have to use my money. It's very easy to make a decision with taxpayer money because then I have to come out of my pocket. But with that, I say if we're going to do this, and I'm completely for people making investments in Richmond, especially if people want to make, you know, put their money in Richmond to benefit and make money, I'm not for that. I'm not against that. All I'm saying is in the event that we're going to do that, don't lock out those who are footing the bill. In other words, if we're having these construction jobs in the city of Richmond and the taxpayers paying for this, I feel that they should get a fair, if not even more of an opportunity at these jobs than outsiders that are coming from counties, which is the normal status quo. You come from the county where it's cheap taxes, you come make big money in the city because the city has the best jobs, you go back to the counties and live in your big, nice home, and you're fine. I know that because I used to live in Powhatan, and I did it. Because if the city is ignorant enough to let that happen, then I'm going to take advantage of it. Mm. But with that being said, now that I'm in South, I live in the South Side of Richmond, I'm saying, hey, why don't we allow the people that live here to get a fair shot the same way as those who are living comfortably? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Simon. I was here on Tuesday, and I spoke, but I wanted to speak again because I came last night and I've heard what y'all have said today. I want to thank like everyone who spoke because I think it's really important that you guys hear like what we have to say, and also you guys have helped me shape what I think. It seems like people agree that we need some sort of development and some something to bring Richmond money. This project is really controversial because we're dealing with a developer who's had a really bad track record historically. There needs to be accountability that they will maintain their promises if Navy Hill goes on. And I would urge you guys to make some sort of commission that is ongoing, that makes sure that every single year Dominion is giving the right money to the right places as promised. If we don't have those promises being met, this project is it's not right. You know, it's unjust. It's not living up to what it said. I think that we need to hold Dominion to more than just redeveloping our communities. They are an energy company, and we're in the middle of a climate crisis. We need to be holding them to also be investing in more infrastructure than just Navy Hill and just whatever Tom Farrell wants to do. We need solar farms. We need wind farms. This is infrastructure that the 21st century needs to see, or we're going to be left in the, you know, kind of dust. I think that the creation of jobs is really important, but we need to look at the numbers. We need to look at how many people are unemployed in Richmond. Right now, the unemployment rate is really low, and we can't spread ourselves too thin. Like someone else said, there's lots of other development going on. And I think that we should have this kind of emphasis on minority businesses and making sure that we're uplifting these historically underprivileged communities. But there's a lot of work to be done. So I just hope that you'll ask the city council to bear in mind what future development needs to be done in the cities, what schools need to be built, and make sure that the city isn't spreading taxpayer money too thin. Yeah, that's what I've got.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else want to share their thoughts with the commission? Yes, sir. And I think on behalf of all of us and our colleagues who are not here tonight, I want to thank you for your faithful attendance. I believe in just about every meeting and every public hearing, and you've not repeated yourself once. You've had different take on it every night, and that's been very helpful to us. So
thank you. That's very kind words. And I want y'all to know I ain't paying them to say that neither, all right? That's it. Let me hit the button so I know when my 3 minutes are up. if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. We're talking about land here, Neighbor Hill Project. We're talking about land that we gave it a title, called it Neighbor Hill. Those were the words coming from God himself, talking about healing our land. A land that is not healed does not prosper. So we have a downtown development that we are talking about that has not prospered because the land has not been healed. The land has been cursed. And to receive, to have that curse removed, is that we need to pray. So you have had people come from you giving testimonies and testimonies. We've had people testify, and we had folks that come before you and testify to. We've had some of that. So one of the things I want the commission to know is that, and those that are in this room today, if you really believe in this project or you believe not in this project, then pray and seek God's face. Because that's going to be the ultimate decision. I said last night, we're either going to have a development or we're going to have a development. Something is going to happen. Why attack people that have an interest in the project? I don't understand. Why hear so much about Mr. Tom Farrell? I don't understand. He was a perfect gentleman when he came to our church. You heard from my pastor earlier today, earlier tonight. Perfect gentleman. I'm trying to find out where I can find a problem, and I'm not going to spend my time on Tom Farrell, but what I am going to share with the commission is, Sunday you all are going to make a decision. And I'm asking the commission, you have heard from the constituents, and you have heard from even some of your own colleagues. And I believe from the majority of the meeting that I have attended and heard and seen, you heard both sides, most of the folks have talked about how it would benefit Richmond. And I would say that for me, like I talked about last night, folks that were watching the impeachment and folks were voting on the impeachment, I stand here today to say my vote is for support of Navy Hill. Thank you for coming to the 8th District, because you're in the 8th District again. I want to also share this when it comes to housing. I asked questions about housing. There's a word that came out, and I shared it with a couple of commissioners last night, project-based vouchers, vouchers that would stay with the property and not follow the individual. That's what I understand, so maybe that might be something we need to look at. Whether we have, when we talk about jobs, the neighborhood project, whether it's two jobs or 2,000 jobs, that's more than what we got going on right now. When we talk about development, it's much needed revenue that we need. And in order, you heard it from one that built the city jail, talking about the development and how that would benefit and how he was included. Minority business owner, developers, really don't care about the developers. I care about stuff getting developed. And we have an opportunity today, as we share with you all, as the gentleman just said, to go back. Please go back and share with them exactly what we are saying and make sure that council knows that we are saying in what areas we're coming from. When it comes to the arena, I met with the officials. I met with Todd. And I said, these are five demands that I'm giving you. I'm just a little old guy, but I have five demands about the arena. And I mentioned Mr. and Mrs. Fox, one of the longest standing promoters on the East Coast. Ms. Fox is the only Afro-American female promoter on the East Coast. That's a living legend sitting there right now. So, you know, those kind of folks. And then we're talking about land. I said pray about the land. Commissioners, I got another task for you. Gentlemen, stand up here and say, after this one is over, you guys going to be gone. I need you in the 8th District. If I can have this commission right now in the 8th District about development that is needed right now, because we got a lot of property in the 8th District that we need to develop also. And I think it would really benefit us in the 8th District that if you guys were sitting at the table instead of somebody coming to meetings and meetings and meetings that don't even live in the 8th District that are telling us about what we need in our own community. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for allowing me to speak 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. I want to thank everybody. We have a little bit of housekeeping we're going to do very quickly and then formally adjourn the meeting. So we do have a quorum. And we do need, there are minutes from the last two meetings. And is there a motion to approve both?
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Any opposed? That is approved. Do we have any to report any FOIA issues?
No.
There are no FOIA reports. Anybody need to make any disclosures?
I'm going to take a tour of the project site tomorrow morning.